dismiss our children to Children's Church, those fifth grade and below. I ask you to find your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Thank you for that choir. Message has already been preached. Final question is, are you going? There's only one way to get there. His name is Jesus. In life, as Christians, we have responsibility. That's a little bit of what we're going to talk about this morning in a word called serve. I hope you don't get tired of it, but over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the word serve and break it down as we go through, unless the Lord changes direction. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Actually, you will stand and honor reading God's word this morning. It says this, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is also within you. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, it may it be you and you alone, the one that sing. Father, as we look at your word this morning, may we look at it with integrity, with the one thing in mind, that's, Father, to be obedient to your word and to grow your kingdom. For it is your Son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as I shared with you to begin with, today's word, we're going to be kind of kicking off a sermon series, if you will. I don't often do sermon series, but it's kind of, the Lord laid it on my heart, and I really couldn't get away from it, if you will. But the word serve is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Over the next few weeks, we'll use the word serve, an acronym, if you will, and each letter will stand for some words, and S being see the future. We need to see and communicate the compelling vision that God has laid out before us. The letter E, engage and develop others. We need to recruit. We need to select the right people to achieve the vision that I feel that God will bring across our path. And many of us are right here today as we engage in the lives of others through discipleship and through outreach and through just sharing what Jesus has done for us. It takes us being engaged in the lives of others. Letter R being rise. Rise to the challenge. Focused on continuous and never-ending improvement of what we as God's people are called to do. We need to learn and to grow and to be more and more Christ-like each and every day of our life. And that takes for us to be disciplined. But we need to rise to the challenge. Letter V will be value results and relationships. We shouldn't be numbers-oriented, but if God's kingdom is not being grown, we will see and recognize that. And if God's kingdom is not being grown, then chances are highly likely that we're not serving in the capacity that God calls for us to. So we need to value results in relationships. Deliver those positive results and cultivate positive and great relationships. Letter E will be express biblical values. In other words, live and work in a manner consistent with not just your values, but with God's Word. You see, our values will be revolved around God's Word, but express that. So S C E engage, R rise, V value, E express. Serve. Serve. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. And I feel this is where God is leading us, and it's not something new, because God has been leading His people to serve Him since time began. God has been using His people and calling His people, and we'll look at some things this morning that He instructs for us to serve Him, to serve God, to serve each other, and to serve the community. Not leaving one out, to ensure that we're following in obedience to what God has instructed for us to do. So today's message is a command to us, if you will, for us to accept our assignment. That's what I kind of titled this morning's message, Accepting My Assignment. And I'm asking the question, why should I accept God's assignment for me? So big picture, as a pastor, as a secretary, as a music minister, as a youth director, as a deacon body, as a Sunday school teacher, I feel that yes, these individuals set the tempo. Each person is called to serve. But I am highly convicted and convinced that God has called your staff here for a specific reason. And your staff needs to lead by example. So to serve starts right here. You see, I feel that a pastor cannot teach and preach if he does not invest himself in God's Word. And I feel a music minister cannot lead people to worship if he himself does not worship. A youth director, they need to be invested in. They need to be growing themselves in God's Word. Why? Because they're teaching and equipping tomorrow's church. And if they're not doing so and not investing in the lives of our wonderful youth group that we have, then they're missing the mark. So it all starts, I feel, with your staff that God has called and you have elected to be your representative, if you will, on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis. But it's not just us by any means. I hear it all the pastor, not a sinner saved by grace. I fail miserably. But it takes God's church, the body of Christ, coming together to follow through in that service that God's called us to. Serve others. And here in our text, as we see this morning, this is exactly what Paul is sharing here with Timothy. You see, Paul is in prison. This is most likely his last letter. It is the last letter that we have. And he writes it to Timothy because he knows about the struggle and the difficulty that life for Christians is going through right now at this moment. It's about somewhere between 64 and 67 A.D., around the time of Nero, when he set his own town on fire and he blamed the Christians. And when the Christians, if they did something wrong in the community, he would set them by example. He would place oil upon them, put them on Mount Olivet, and they'd be alive here tonight as he burnt the Christians. See, Christians received persecution, received all types of people were against them. They were being oppressed by person after person after person, and it seemed as if nothing was going forward, and they were just scared to death, is one word you might say. Just to be honest, just to be human about it. Fear. But Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I know this is transpiring, I'm aware that this takes place, and I feel very confident that 2 Timothy 2:15 describes us and shares with us the theme of the whole book of 2 Timothy, in that it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. I think the theme of this book, if you will, is Timothy, I know the times are tough. Stay true to God's word. Serve God. Serve others. Don't leave one out. Don't overlook someone who may be in need. Keep loving God and keep loving others. important for you, Timothy, to keep this focus in spite of the struggles and difficulties. Now, we may not be there quite yet, because we do live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I know and understand that. But you look at our society around us, and you see a vast decay in the world around us. You see a vast decay of proclaimed followers of Christ. Pushing themselves away from God's Word and going in a total opposite direction. Case in point, I read a story yesterday about Franklin Graham. You probably know Billy Graham, who died this recently. His son, Franklin Graham, has Operation Christmas Child, several different ministries. He made this statement that homosexuality is a sin. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. So is murder, so is lying, so is stealing. In that, God will forgive you if you will admit your sin, return and repent of your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can be forgiven, you can be redeemed. Amen. It's still a sin. Any of those. And I'm not going to say any names, but a news anchor verbally said that because he said that, Franklin Graham was a disgrace because he was being exclusive. That's the world in which we live in. Even if we attempt to serve, there's opposition against us. And I don't know how bad it may be. But here's one truth I know in biblical times and in history. It appears, it seems that when the church is under persecution is when the church flourishes. And I say that to say we are the church. So it's time, church, for us to pull up our bootstraps and get ready for a battle. In that, the war has already been won. We have victory in you. But there's things that we, as God's people, will face in our life, and we need to determine who it is we're going to serve. We're either going to serve God, or we're going to serve self. There's no middle of the road. There's no, I might one day later, because later may never come. You have to ask yourself the question today, am I going to serve God? Now, there's one thing that really grabbed my attention as I was going through this and preparing this week for. The Greek word for serve, real quick, like, is latreo, which means to serve. But here's what it also means, and it really grabbed my attention. It also means to worship. Isn't that amazing how one word means to serve? It also means to worship. So that reveals to me that serving and worshiping is the same thing. Serving God, serving others, is an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. But that Greek word means even more. It means to minister to. It means to give allegiance to. It means to exhibit loyalty. Now, I know that we all in this room are loyal to many different things. We're loyal to our spouse. We're loyal to our favorite ball team. We're loyal to all types of things. But the question still remains, are you loyal to your Savior? Are you loyal to your Savior? The one that loved you in spite of your sinfulness. The one that proved His love for you. In that while you were still a sinner, Jesus died. That's how much love He has for you. And too often we're guilty of having this big picture idea that we need to serve for specific reasons. We need to serve because I'm afraid. We need to serve because of all these different things. But here's the reason you shouldn't be serving. Because of your joy. You've been set free.
Amen.
You've been free. You've been redeemed.
Amen.
You've been given chance. Joy should lead you to serve, not any of these others. And I'm reminded, because of this responsibility, of an Old Testament story that I feel many of you probably will recognize with. A man named Daniel. You see, Israel had sinned multiple times. And God warned, if you don't turn from your ways, you will be sent into exile, taken from your homeland. Back in Deuteronomy, he said, I'm giving the promised land, and if you don't obey me, I'm going to take that land away from you. You see, God disciplines. Hebrews 12:6.
God disciplines those he loves.
And our choices, our even wrong choices, bring about consequences. But Daniel here, he's in the middle. He's a follower of the Lord. And there may be a time that comes here in the United States of America that it may get ugly. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but I know it's over my head.
Amen.
But if we may have a time like Daniel, if we serve the Lord, but we still need to choose when we stay that path. Because you see, Daniel, he's sent into exile, all these things, you know the story, but there's a few things. I want to ask you a question. Did Daniel say he might as well forget about serving God because he's been punished along with the rest of the people? No. No, he didn't. Did Daniel abandon his love and zeal for God to follow selfish standards and morals because everybody else was doing it? No. Daniel stayed true. And one thing that the people didn't like, and they developed a plan. I won't tell the whole story, but they developed a plan. And we'll see. Is Daniel going to stand true and serve God? And here's how we should be. We can learn from that. Daniel didn't get in his room and say, he had one vote.
Yeah.
He didn't care who hurt him. And he prayed to God.
Amen.
He served. He served his God. Let me tell you something. They tried to plan, but their plan failed. Because God sees after his own. That doesn't mean life will not be difficult. That does not mean that Daniel didn't have a few bad days along the way. But God loved him and took care of him and provided for him. Big picture, as Paul wrote in the New Testament, Philippians 1:1, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whatever life has in store for us, we need to live for Christ. But if we pass from this walk of life, oh, how great it is to be walking all over the streets of promise.
Amen.
All over God's promise land. So Daniel prayed, and he was unashamed. We could learn a lot from that, from him. So in your fill in the blanks, real quick, like, number one, why should I accept God's assignment for me? You were created to serve. You were created to serve. In other words, you were put on this earth to make a contribution. Rick Warren, I was reading his book, Purpose-Driven Life, he shared this. He said, you were not created just to consume resources. Too often, that's the way a world is, and it's the way many people are. They just want to consume resources. They're there for a handout, of a handout. Give me something. Give me. Let me tell you something. I am not saying when people are struggling that we shouldn't meet needs. In fact, I'm going to tell you that God's Word says when people are struggling, we should meet needs. But we live in a culture to where people just want a handout, and there's nothing wrong. We still love them. But this is the society and the culture that we're going through. People thinking that they were created to consume instead of serve. Life happens and hard times come. Sometimes we need to meet those needs. In fact, when the New Testament church was created, in Acts 2:44 through 45, we get this. Now all believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property, distributed the proceeds to all as anyone has a need. Let me tell you something. This is not saying that we all need to just go throw everything and sell everything for a big pool. God leads you to, you do that. That's not what this is saying in context. It's saying if Johnny has a need, Greg, you need to be willing to give to help people.
Because God blesses people in need of others. And big picture, you know what's happening in that? Why the church is doing that? Because there's people inside, outside of the community that do not know Jesus, and they need help. And so they're in need. They say, it was Jesus. Look, I want to know more about this Jesus. You see, that's why it's important for us to not miss the reason that we were created to serve. And as we look at this text, the word created is not mentioned here in the book of Timothy as we read it this morning. But we also see that Timothy had examples that were in front of him. His grandmother and his mother must have at some earlier point given their lives to Christ. And they lived by example in front of him. In that it says, Paul states to Timothy, and I believe you have good teachers, but I believe you got that same gift in you. Use it to impact God's kingdom, to where people can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because if you act as if you're created to consume, the world's going to recognize you're not going to see anything different from them. They're not going to want to know what's changed Greg's life. What's made a difference in his life. You see, through salvation, our past has been forgiven. Our present has been given meaning. And our future has been given security in Jesus Christ. Like I shared with you a moment ago, we do not serve out of guilt. We do not serve out of fear. We do not serve out of duty. We serve out of the joy of the freedom that we've attained through Jesus Christ. We've been created to serve. Are you serving? Number two in the fill in the blank. Why should I accept God's assignment for me? You are gifted to serve. You are gifted to serve. Now, I want to share some scriptures here with you as we work our way through this point number two. You are gifted to serve, as we see in our text this morning. First thing I want to establish is this. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction to God's Word. That's the simplest I know how to say it. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction to God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Now the end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and disciplined for prayer. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, based on the gift each one has received. Use it to serve others as good managers of God's varied grace. Each one gifted to serve. Second, I want to establish, we don't all have the same talents. We don't all have the same gifts. That's why we're a body. That's why we're a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 6 says this, there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. We're often guilty of not keeping ablaze the gift that God has laid in us. 2 Timothy 1:6. So we need to be careful not to allow our gift, if you will, to die down or fizzle out or to be cast to the side. When we do this, in fact, the Bible shares with us, we become useless to God because we're not using our gift. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and disqualified for any good work. We need to be ready and willing to serve. We need to use our gifts that God has given us to be of service to the one who redeemed us. Now listen to this example about keeping ablaze our gift. Now oftentimes in life, we can get in a rut. And we allow ourselves to just go through the motions. And we allow our gifts to dissipate. But also good things
can distract us and take us away from serving. In that, I want to share with you a little story about someone that most of you will know. A few years ago, this church established a rule for some of the committees to have like 3 years of service for various different reasons. Once we moved forward, we pulled some of those committees out, and some are still remaining. Here's what, let's be honest, man. This is the honest way that I can. Some people got on the finance committee and they thought, am I going to die here on the finance committee? I don't want to be on it forever. But we have a business meeting and I knew it's get ready for it. And there's other committees and you're like, I'm on this committee, I've been on it for a long time. But we got to the point where that's just it's a decision that we corporately make. And here's where I want you to hear. I had a very dear person in my life that I respected, that I loved, that I admired, come to me and said, why has the church done this? Because my gift is, we had to put a ground one time on that. Carpentry, my gift is fixing things. And some people have that gift. And they do it and do it like, do that for things. We got men in this church, women as well, and they're gifted in a lot of things. Well, they use it well. And this person said to me, I feel like you're trying to steal my gift. Because that's what I do. That's all I've done. And I want to use my gift. His name was Bud Smith. I'll never forget it. Because I wasn't alone, but I had been guilty of participating with anyone that removed this person's gift. In that, we made it back later. And we realized, we learned something. Some people are gifted to do certain things. In that, if you've been in this church very long, he died in 2008, you will know that you can't look hardly anywhere that his hands did not touch. He took care of, he repaired, he fixed, he built, he saved money by repairing different things. I've never heard a complaining word out of his mouth except for, is there anything else I can do? Now, he may have complained to Dwayne, I don't know. But I don't think he did. Because he loved his Savior, his gift was repairing and fixing and building, and he used it to use it well, and to be passionate in his love of life. Each one of us has been gifted to do. It may be carpentry, it may be something, and I don't know. You know what your gift is. It may be singing, it may be something. Bring honor and glory to God's name. The big question I have to ask you is, are you using your gift to serve God? Every believer has been gifted to grow God's kingdom. And when God gives you that gift, take it and use it and unashamedly serve your Savior. Serve one another. Serve your community. All for one purpose. To glorify God's name and to grow His kingdom. It's important. It's vital. And this is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy here. I know it's tough, but stay the course. So let me ask you one question now. What has God gifted you to do? Number three, you're filling the blank. Why should I accept God's assignment for me? Number three, you were called to serve. As Christians, we are called and we are saved from a sin of life. And we've been given this opportunity to serve our Savior. We've been called and saved to live a life of holiness, a life of service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We no longer live for self. That's the motto we should have. We no longer live for self. In fact, Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote this, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
The condition that we struggle with is not serving. Oftentimes the condition that people struggle with is serving others. We serve if it benefits me, oftentimes. But if I don't receive a benefit, and this should not be, church, if we think, what am I going to get out of it? I'm going to scratch their back so they'll scratch mine. If that's our motto, we're not serving in the correct capacity that God has given instructions for us to serve, period. We've been called to serve because of the joy, like we've already talked about 3 or 4 different times. We've been called to follow. But I want to share something. You're not alone. You're not alone. Do you remember reading about the disciples arguing over who was going to be first, who was going to be greatest in heaven? You know what I understand from that statement, that story in the gospel? God's mercy and God's grace. Saying to the disciples, saying, "Greg, my child, it's not about you. It's not about you. Serve me. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow has no worries of its own. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Do you remember what Jesus said to them? Mark 9:35. Sitting down, He called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Did you notice that? This is the command that He gave His followers, which is us, to accomplish, to give their all, and to be servants of all. We're called to serve. In fact, I want to share with you that Jesus gave us that by His life's example. Mark 10:45 says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." You see, our Savior, the only one that deserves to be served, the only one that deserves to be worshipped, the only one that deserves our loyalty, He came to serve you. And He gave His life for you. He laid it all down because you couldn't pay it. Because you couldn't accomplish it. Christians, we must be alert for the call that God has given for us. We must use our eyes to see. We must use our ears to listen. We must use our hands to help, and we must use our hearts to love. Because this is what He has given us as instructions to do, and we need to be intentional about glorifying His name as we do that. But I've stated up front, and I'm going to state it again. Do you know what the number one reason that people do not do this, do not serve this? Fear. Fear prevents us from serving. What will Johnny think if I serve the Lord? What will the people think if I have my windows open when I pray to my Lord? What will the world think if I say Jesus is the Savior of all, and He is the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father but through Him. What are they going to think? What are they going to think? 2 Timothy 1:7, as we see in our text. "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." Fear does not come from God. If you're wrapped up in fear, Satan has you where he wants you. God does not give us fear. God gives us power to overcome. Why? Because He overcome. God gives us power to love. Why? Because He loves. But God gives us power of sound judgment because He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He will judge us all one day. So what should we learn from today's message as we get ready to close? Big picture, everyone has been created and saved to serve.
Everyone has been gifted to serve. Everyone has been called to serve. But one last time, I want to ask you this question. Why should I accept God's assignment for me to serve? You see, the answer is quite simple. And let me share you this in closing. We've all heard of the Sea of Galilee, and we've all heard of the Dead Sea. Same region, different locations. The Dead Sea is the lowest point, and it has water flowing into it, but nothing flowing out. See, it becomes stagnant. Life, for the most part, does not exist here. The Sea of Galilee has water flowing in. Water flowing out. And life flourishes. As a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we live like the Dead Sea. We're dead. See, faith about works is dead. I don't even work with dead. Become stagnant. We need serving God. Capacity and aggression of His calls. We need to be more like the rest of the nation's mentality. Allowing Jesus to flow in through reading His Word, through being invested in my fellow believers, through prayer, through our prayer life. But we don't need to let it build up and up. See, God's Word really freaking on. If you take it in, it will come out. So if you become stagnant, the chances are highly likely that you may not be taken in. Because the natural process of God's Word, in that God's Word promises, it will not come back fully. If it's going in you, it will come out. It must come out. So we need to seek to serve and live that life of a redeemed person who wants to know people in our community, people in our church, people down the road. We want to know the coming of Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what service, that's what worship is all about. Glorifying God's name. People know Jesus Christ as Savior. And us, we may be a poor, wretched bunch of sinners, but we have a Savior who's redeemed us, forgiven us.
Amen.
Living for Him. Serving Him. In that, through here this morning, you have not surrendered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a very simple gift. Jesus gave His life and was buried for you. But He didn't stay there. 3 days later, He arose in victory over death on the grave. And He has victory over death. Death no longer has any sting. And death no longer has victory. Only Jesus Christ does.
Amen.
And the Bible shares that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart that believes in righteousness, with mouth that confesses made salvation. It's a gift theirs for the taking, but it's the ball's in your court. You've got to respond. You've got to be willing to believe. You've got to receive that forgiveness. You've got to make a step and stand for Him. If you'll take the first step, I promise you will carry the rest. Don't listen to Satan speaking right now and then say, "Wait for tomorrow. Wait for this. Wait for next time. Wait for next time. Wait for next time. Wait for next time."
19, verse number 3, that we're going to sing and worship Him and praise His holy name. Let's just sing it. Draw me nearer, Lord. The Bible shares James that we'll draw near to Him, we'll draw near to us. We'll resist the devil, he will flee from us.